May you be blessed by today's program as we lift our voices to declare, souls are crying, men are dying, we must do all we can at any cost to win the lost while there is still time and liberty. The message you will hear today, "Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?" is a clarion call of the Holy Spirit, and it came forth under a heavy burning anointing. And I pray you will be touched by the same anointing as you hear this word of the Lord today. And I'll be back to tell you how to order our message, "Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?"
Turn with me to Psalm 24. The psalmist is going to ask the questions we need to ask today. He's asking the questions and then he's going to turn around and give us the answers. Psalm 24, verse 3. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" The hill of the Lord referred to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where the temple was built. The holy place referred to God's holy altar, where worship and service was done. And then he turns around and answers his own question. Verse 4, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." I'm asking you today by the Holy Ghost, I want to know who is going to ascend unto the hill of the Lord. Who is going to stand on his holy platform? Who is going to sing the songs of praise and worship? Who is going to sit on that organ and on those drums and those instruments? I want to know who is going to stand up in the house of God. I tell you who it's going to be. Those who have a pure heart. Those who have clean hands. And if you don't have a pure heart and you don't have clean hands, you have no business up there. Anybody can come and sit in this church. Anybody can come and sit in these pews. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you've been, what you've done. You can come and sit in these pews. But when you step over and you get up on that altar, you better be living right. You better be walking right. Jesus gave the parable that they threw out the great net. And he said they took in many, many, many kinds of fishes. And some of them weren't good for, they weren't good fish. Some people go and fish for fish that are, they throw right back in. Why? Well, it was fun to catch them, but they don't taste so good. How many know there's some fish they're fun to catch, but they're not good eating? And he threw out the big net and they took in many. And he said, don't worry about it. The net goes out there. The net doesn't say, are you good to eat or you're not good to eat? The net just takes them all in. You know, when you fish with a line, you do one at a time. You look at that guy and say, oh, I don't want you, put you back. But when you throw out the net, you get whatever comes with it. Amen. And sometimes you get old pieces of leather shoes. And sometimes when you sit out the net, you get an old rusty bucket. You don't know what you're going to get in the net. Amen. He said, don't worry about it. Throw out the net. And I'll separate the good from the bad. But when you get up on that holy mountain and you get up on that holy hill and you stand in the place of a worshiper and you stand in the place of someone who stands there that other people are looking to, you need to walk the walk. Amen. You need to walk it. I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be somebody with clean hands. I remember a few years ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was walking around with white gloves on. Now, I know today, sometimes you'll see people in, say they're a missionary or an usher and they wear them. But you know, when I was a little girl in the 50s and early 60s, when we got dialed up on Sunday, we had fancy, frilly little dresses that, you know, all out here. We wore hats. On Sunday morning, we really got dressed up. And we back then, little girls wore white gloves when they were dressed up. How many remember? You remember wearing white gloves when you were dressed up? I mean, especially at least on Easter, you wore white gloves. Amen. And you know, you just felt so prissy and so pretty and cute because you had your little white gloves on. Amen. And in this dream, I was a full-grown adult walking around with these white gloves, which we know is no longer in style. And in the dream, somebody walked up to me and said, "Why are you wearing those white gloves?" And without missing a beat, I said, "Because I have clean hands and a pure heart." When I woke up, I thought, "Lord, you mean me? You mean me, Lord? Does that mean me?" But then I realized that in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, every day being washed in the water of the word, being cleansed every day from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, I want you to know God will give you clean hands and a pure heart. Does that mean you're perfect? No. Does that mean you wear a halo? Certainly not, but it means your heart is bent towards God. You're leaning towards God. You want righteousness. You want godliness. You want purity. You want truth. You don't always do everything exactly right, but when you do wrong, your heart is convicted, and immediately you take care of it. And knowing that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to know, will the real Christians with pure heart and clean hands please stand up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God. If you're real, you can stand up. Hallelujah. My God. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 5, "They blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And in the Greek, it's a present tense, and this is important because, you know, it's this kind of a pure in heart, like that's some stagnant state. And that's not how it is in the real world. We all know that. But what does the Greek say? The Greek says, "Blessed are they who are always purifying their heart." You see, it's a perpetual thing. It's a daily thing. However long you walk with Jesus until He comes for His church or takes you by way of the grave, you're going to be purifying your heart every day for the rest of your life. You see, John wrote in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, he talked about seeing Jesus in all His glory. He said that, "Oh, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God," and that's who we are. "And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall see Him as He is." And He's not on the cross anymore. He's the risen Lord of glory, and we will see Him as He is. And here's the good part. We will be just like Him. And then He said, while we're getting all happy, we'll be just like Him. Verse 3, He said, "And everyone that has this hope purifies himself, even as the standard is, he is pure." Okay, now. Okay, I'm going to shout, but I'm also going to walk soberly and realize it means that if I have this hope, I'm not going to lose my hope. I'm going to see Him as He is. I'm going to be like Him in His glory. And while I'm on this earth, I'm going to continually purify myself. And my standard is not Bishop Wonderful. And my standard is not Apostle the Great One. My standard is not so-and-so or so-and-so or so-and-so. My standard is Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah! Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the pure one. He's the perfect one. Because you get your eyes on someone, and I've done it before in the past. There were certain evangelists I loved. I couldn't wait for their show to come on. I hung on every word they preached, and they preached the truth. There's one I had in mind. Nobody preached better than him. I mean, he preached it hot, heavy, down the line. I loved it. I got his magazine. I would devour it. I would take notes. And this person had a huge, huge moral fall. And you know, I was devastated. When it first came out, I said, "No, I refuse to believe it." I said it was the media, they had made it up, and it was some campaign. I refused to believe it until I saw him himself say, "I have sinned," with tears coming down his face. And I thought, "Oh, my Lord and my God." You know, it really upset me. Now, did it make me going to quit the Lord? No, because my salvation wasn't in this guy. But I can see where babies in Christ and people that are on the not don't know yet I can see where it threw them for a loop. And this person did not commit the unpardonable sin. It was forgivable. God forgave them. They preached the gospel again. But here's the thing about it, is the damage and the fallout that it does. Amen? It can happen to any of us. So we've got to not put our eyes on a preacher. Everybody has their favorite preachers. Come on, tell the truth. And you know what? If you like the way somebody preaches better than somebody else, that's your personal prerogative. Now, you still support and love the other preachers. You love them too and you support them, but there's some that just kind of get it. And you love to hear them preach. But don't ever put people up on a pedestal. Amen? Don't ever put a preacher on a pedestal. Because I guarantee you, preachers have a bigger target on their back. Because if the devil can get a preacher to mess up, just like I just talked about, he can cause many people to get shook up. And the worst thing is it brings a reproach to the name of Jesus to those who don't know. Amen? And so we've got to be pure even as he is pure. And the way that we do that is by the washing of the water of the word. You know, every now and then you need a message like this to give you a good spiritual bath. I'm going to tell you, I didn't decide on this message until yesterday. I've been trying to get a sweet family message. Family, friends, I want to be friendly. I want to be family. I want to be nice. I want to message everybody in love. And I don't know how many I started. And okay, let's start over again. About 4 or 5 of them. I got piles of notes halfway done. And the Lord kept bringing me back to this. And yesterday, now I don't always advise you to do this, but yesterday I said, now Lord, if I know I have the message you want, I'm good. Because then I know when I get out there, you'll anoint it. If I try to do one I chose, it, you know, we might get by, but it ain't going to be. I tell you, there's an anointing here today. And I literally took about 6 messages, put them in a pile, closed my eyes, mixed them all up. God is my witness. I reached in and pulled out and I looked at it and it said, will the real Christian please stand up?
Amen. What a sin-busting, devil-chasing message. Will the real Christian please stand up? It's time for everyone who names the name of the Lord to depart from iniquity. If you're not living right, don't call yourself a Christian and get out of the church until you're ready to walk the talk. It's time for Christian celebrities to lay down their titles and take up their towels of humility and wash the feet of the saints and serve the body of Christ. It's time for the righteous of this generation who stand in God's holy hill behind the pulpits and lecterns of Christianity to purify their hearts and cleanse their hands. And it's time for all of us to prepare ourselves for the onslaught of religious, especially anti-Christian persecution that is being unleashed in our nation and will only increase as perilous times are here. If you are stirred by this clarion call of the Holy Spirit and you want to hear this message again and or share it with others, request offer number SK162 and send a love gift of $10 or more to support this radio ministry and help us keep the message, messages like this, will the real Christian please stand up, on the air. Send $10 or more to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, and request offer number SK162. Or if you prefer, go online and order at www.rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Remember, your love gift will help to keep messages like this on the radio. So order your copy today. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.